have lunch with us. You can take pictures with the kids, with the props. What do you guys think when you hear such a story, the story of Jesus' birth? What words come to your mind? You know, when I read the Christmas story in the Bible and I think about it in its original context, to be honest, the word that comes to mind is crude. It's primitive. And even from a human perspective, absurd. If you were God, how would you have your son be born into this world? If you were God and you wanted to make yourself manifest, to arrive in this world, how would you do it? You know, I was thinking about this week, I'd probably do it kind of in a Hollywood fashion, right? You know, I'd pick the biggest king with the greatest empire, with the biggest army, and he would send his messengers out in advance and gather all of the most important people, the dignitaries, the ambassadors, to come and witness the birth of the king, of the Son of God. And I'd probably do it Hollywood style, you know, my son is born, I would have the sun shine, kind of like the Lion King, I guess, or something like that. But all people would bow down and hail, you know, hail, Son of God, right? And I don't know, as you think about it, you know, if you're God, you can do it any way you want to make your son manifest in this world. How would you have your son be born? And I'm sure we probably would come up with different ideas, but one thing I think we could all agree on is none of us, not a single one of us, would come up with the story that we just saw here. You know, when you think about the way that the Bible presents the birth of the Son of God in this world, he wasn't born in a palace with a golden crib. As we know, he was born in a manger, in a stall. You know, if we could imagine the smell, the stench of the animals. And who were the ones who showed up to worship him? Shepherds. If you know anything about shepherds, they're quite low on the social ladder. In fact, they're on the bottom of they're the lower class. Not highly regarded in society. And a few months later, a few years later, the only dignitaries to come and worship the king were Gentiles. From a Jewish perspective, they didn't know Yahweh. They were Gentile astronomers, pagans. When you think about the birth of Jesus Christ, in a way, it's quite crude. It's, from a human perspective, it's absurd to have God made flesh appear in the world this way. Jesus entered a stinky, smelly, dirty, chaotic world. Jesus entered a world full of political turmoil. You know, this weekend, I guess in Washington, they're deciding whether to impeach our president. And we all know that politically, our nation is divided. Families and friends are divided up across party lines, and there's often bitter feuds. And yet, when we look back at the environment, the world in which Jesus was born, there was even greater political chaos in those days, I believe, than in our nation today. I mean, Quirinius took a census as it was read. And we know from Josephus, we know from history, that when a governor took a census, it was to raise taxes. And we know from history that the Jews didn't like, just like you and I, they didn't like to have their taxes be raised. There were some who organized political revolts with acts of violence to rebel. They wanted to gain their liberty, their independence. And that's nothing to speak, of course, of Herod. You know, Roman emperors said that it was you're safer. It's better to be one of Herod's pigs than one of his sons. Herod had his wives and his children murdered. Anyone he thought would was plotting against him. A very cruel man. You think of the political environment into which Jesus was born. And not the least of which, Jesus was born into family dysfunction. As many of us, many of you are no strangers to family dysfunction. We know the story, right? Joseph was thinking of divorcing his wife, Mary. In those days, this woman who was engaged became pregnant, and Joseph knew, it wasn't me, I'm not the father. And what's more, this young lady is claiming that it's the Holy Spirit who got her pregnant. Yeah, right. And if it weren't for the dream which God sent, in which the angel said, Joseph, believe your wife, Mary. This is true. The child in her is Emmanuel, God with us, the Son of God. And Joseph, as a man of God, listened, and he did not divorce his wife. But think about his parents. Think about Mary's parents. Think about their friends and their family all around. And, you know, Joseph, why are you marrying this girl? She's kind of cuckoo. She thinks that the Holy Spirit got her pregnant. Obviously, she's been fooling around. Joseph, what are you doing marrying her? Jesus was born into a family which was dysfunctional, and all throughout his childhood, the rumors would have spread. My point is this. The world that Jesus entered was not a pristine world. It was not a perfect world. It was no utopia. It was not a world full of peace and harmony and love and joy. It was a world which is very much like the world we live in today. It was a world full of evil, intrigue, chaos, turmoil. It was dirty. It was stinky. It was smelly. And that's why it's such a wonderful story. You see, because if Jesus would have entered into some perfect utopian world, then I would not believe that he could enter into our world. The fact that Jesus entered into a dirty, stinky, evil, chaotic, dysfunctional, corrupt, unjust world, just like our world today, gives me faith that Jesus, that God wants to enter into my life, into my world. And that's the thought I want to leave you with this morning. The thought is, the question is, have you invited God into your world? If you may think, to yourself, you know, my life is not all cleaned up. It's not perfect. It's messy. It's dirty. It's smelly. There's a lot of evil there, a lot of bad things. And the incarnation, the nativity story, the story of Christmas reminds us that whoever you are, whatever your life is or has been, God is willing to enter into your life. I want to read from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. In Philippians 2, 5 through 11, we have one of the greatest summaries in the Bible of who Jesus is and what he did. It says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant or slave, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. I love how Donna painted that backdrop behind the manger of Jesus carrying the cross. He came in the form of a slave and was obedient even unto death. But that's not the end of the story. In verse 9, it says, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The story of Christmas is the story of a God who entered into a world that's just like yours and mine. Not a perfect world, but a world full of dysfunction, chaos, evil, dirty, stinky. And God wants to enter into your world, into your life. Will you invite Jesus in? Our text gives us a great summary of who Jesus is. He wasn't just a babe born in a manger, wasn't just a good person or a prophet. Jesus was God, very God. He is God, as it says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all that is made was made through him. And this one who was God humbled himself and became flesh. He was born as a slave, and he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, the most humiliating death in the ancient world. But that's not the end of the story, is it? As the Bible says, death could not hold him. And after 3 days in the grave, God exalted his Son, Jesus Christ, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God. My question is, who do you say that Jesus is? That's the most important question you will ever answer. Who do you say that Jesus is? Do you believe that he is God, who became human, who died on the cross, who rose from the dead, and now he is Lord of all? Who do you say that Jesus is? You know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German pastor who was executed under the reign of Hitler, he wrote this. He said, "Only the humble believe him and rejoice that God is so free and so marvelous that he does wonders where people despair, that he takes what is little and lowly and makes it marvelous. And that is the wonder of all wonders, that God loves the lowly. God is not ashamed of the lowliness of human beings. God marches right in. He chooses people as his instruments and performs his wonders where one would least expect them. God is near to lowliness. He loves the lost, the neglected, the unseemly, the excluded, the weak, and the broken." Let's pray together. God, I'm so thankful that you're not like me. I'm so thankful that you did it so differently, completely differently than I would have ever chosen to have done it, Lord. Jesus, we're so thankful that you entered into a world which is basically just like ours. It's broken, stinky, it's dirty, it's chaotic, full of dysfunction, corruption, evil, brokenness. That's the world you entered in. And for all time, the story of Christmas is proof that, God, you want to enter into our world, that we are not too far from you. You came into this world to show us your love, and now you want to enter into our lives. And if you're here this morning and you have not invited God into your life, or you don't know that you know that you know that God is in your life, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. God wants to enter into your life. Not just on Sunday morning for an hour, hour and a half, but every day. And for those of us who do know you as Lord and Savior, Lord, I pray that this Christmas we would invite you more and more into our lives, that there would be no secret compartment, no place in our lives where you are not Lord, where you are not welcome. And if you're here and you do not know the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he is not in your life, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So don't leave here today without inviting God into your life, no matter how broken, how dysfunctional, how evil it is. Invite God into your life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.